This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. It's something for the weekend time. Joining me to discuss all matters cherries, Mr. Chris Budd. Welcome.
Hello. How you doing?
We are recording this belatedly. We just got back in the wee hours from Lille. I was contemplating going to Cheltenham today, not for the horses, but to see Lincoln City at Cheltenham. It's boiling up, two games to go in League One. But instead of going in the Cheltenham end and being beaten up by the Cheltenham singing section, we are here.
Dancers.
Although the Imps are winning, I should have gone for it. But anyway, we are here to discuss a pivotal game, which will set up Villa for fourth, big time. Put some daylight between us and Spurs. Problem is, me and Lil, you can tell I haven't recovered from the trip. Me and Bud have seen firsthand us go through hell against Lil, and if Villa play like they did in that first 90 minutes against Lil, we've got big problems against Bournemouth, haven't we?
I think so. I mean, I thought... You know, Lille had a lot of time to prep and they looked very well prepared and they were energetic and they made it very, very difficult for Villa. You know, they were the better side on the night.
Maybe Villa, instead of making changes to rest up for Bournemouth, they were just resting in-game. Maybe that was the
tactic. I did wonder that. It was a very... Villa were clearly trying to control the tempo of the game, not that there was much tempo at times, and a lot of passing between the back line and goalkeeper. Not much else further forwards, but it certainly wasn't a basketball match where everyone's, you know, running around like headless chickens. It certainly wasn't one of those games. It was very much a game of chess, wasn't it, that one? But we got through. Yeah. Semi-finals, here we come and all that.
So whether it's just the concentration was the only thing that's taxing, but you know, obviously a bit more energy expended in the extra time, then you've obviously got the emotional impact of the penalty shootouts. But hopefully the adrenaline will carry them in because, I mean, let's face it, if you can't get up for games like this, considering what's at stake, then, you know, what are you doing?
It's a huge week for Villa this week.
What are you doing in terms of earning your money?
And this is what you know, if you're a pro footballer, these are the games. Like, they're at the real business end now. They've got themselves into a semi-final and you've got two winnable home games, I would say, to probably do something that most of those players won't have done in their career before. And the club, you know, I haven't seen Villa play in the European Cup.
They'd be fresher than us, put it that way, as supporters who went to that game, because they would have been back pretty much by midnight.
They got off the pitch really quickly, didn't they, actually? They kind of had their little moment with Martinez in front of the netted masses up in the top tier, and then they kind of scarpered off the pitch pretty quickly and were home by about midnight, apparently. So
it was obvious that, you know, after the brief celebration, all eyes turned to this game. As always, this episode of the My Old Man Said podcast is sponsored by Green King Sport, where football is more than a game. The league season is entering the business end and Green King Sport venues are showing every single televised Aston Villa fixture over the run-in. With more than 900 sports pubs across the UK, it doesn't matter where you're based, you can catch every single minute of the action. Football is best enjoyed with your mates, so if you're not at the ground this month, get a text in the group chat and head to your local Green King Sports venue to catch the game. Don't forget to download the Green King Sports app to enjoy exclusive competitions and discounts whenever there's a game on. In terms of injuries, nothing new. You've just got the Moreno injury, which the thing is, when you get ruled out 2-3 weeks and there's only a few weeks left of the season, it's not great timing. Hopefully he'll get a game before he potentially could be on the bench, like if we got to the final, but I can't see him being ready for the semis. He may come back after the semis, and then it's like, you're talking about one or two games left, isn't it, in terms of the league?
Yeah, well, obviously his hamstring injury he had before, that was a real lingering one, wasn't it, from last summer, or the end of last season, really, until kind of November time, wasn't it, if I remember rightly. And he certainly doesn't feel like a robust, one of these guys who sort of mends quickly. But we'll see. I think Digne has the shirt. He Moreno wasn't particularly great. I think it was the Wolves game, wasn't it? And Digne came in, and we've looked a bit more solid since.
Yeah, I mean, if you were starting, you're picking your starting 11 for the Europa League semi-final or final, you're going with Digne.
Yeah.
100%. So in that case, it's not a big loss. I'd rather it be this way round if you had to have one injured left back. But in terms of him coming back, potentially we won't see him again, but I would say he would probably be sneaking back on the bench with a couple of games, league and cup to go. But apart from that, it's as is. Is there going to be much change in terms of the starting lineup? I don't know. You're in a position where obviously players that got subbed off would be not because they were saving them by any means, but in the context of the actual game, may get the start. So Diaby might come in. Do you think you'll go Diaby and Bailey at this stage?
Yeah, well, Bailey obviously came off the bench, didn't he, the second half. McGinn came off. Obviously, you're without Louise anyway. So I would imagine you will move Morgan Rogers more centrally. And then it depends. Obviously, Zaniolo took a bit of a whack, didn't he? And he came off quite early. So it depends how he is.
He wasn't mentioned in the pre-match as a doubt, though, Zaniolo. So he could go for that same three, Diaby, Rogers, Zaniolo behind Watkins.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about the Arsenal game, he might just go for that lineup. Because Tillemans
depends
and McGinn. Depends
if he wants the same back line. Because, of course, Carlos didn't play in France. He might bring Carlos back in, move Konsa to right back and move Cash forward.
Or just have Cash off the bench if you need to step it up a little bit.
Yeah.
We shall see.
Otherwise, it'll be more of the same.
It's one of those situations where you do the tests, etc., just to see who's recovered the best. But I'm just thinking tactically whether there would be a cause, because you're at home, to go with Diaby and Bailey, because that has been effective in certain games. But whether he wants to, because of the turnaround of games, whether he wants to keep at least one of them fresh as an impact player off the bench just to give his team something if they are flagging, which could be the cause here, because if you can start strong in this and then you start to peter out, then you could perhaps bring Bailey on to give yourself a bit more impetus. So,
or the other way around, however it is, yeah.
Yeah, well, I think Bailey's a better impact player, to be honest with you. Right, in terms of form at the moment, Bournemouth have...
It's kind of deceiving, isn't it?
Yeah, when we took them on and we drew, we got a late equaliser at theirs. That was when they beat Manchester United. They were
flying.
They were
on
a little purple patch, weren't they?
Yeah, and they were good. I mean, we all admitted that Villa kind of got away with one that day.
And then since they kind of faded a bit, but they've been back at it. But I think it's because they've been playing all the shit at the bottom of the table.
Well, they have. Yeah, they've had, and they've played, I think, five of the last six at home, which is kind of a strange little, not a quirk. I think they've had Sheffield United at home, Luton, Everton, Palace, and then United. And the only game they've had was away at Luton, and they lost.
Yeah.
So it's kind of difficult to judge where they're actually at.
Yeah, they are sixth in the last six form table because of essentially their opposition. I mean, goals for 12, goals against 10. It's not as if they've ripped through those teams. I mean, they've won 3, drawn 2. Villa still in that 1-2, drawn 2, lost 2 situation. But Away from home, Villa, that's what's been dragging Villa through this second part of the season, is their away form. Unfortunately, their home form has slipped now, as we said on the last something for the weekend, to sixth best. 11 wins, 2 draws, 3 losses. I mean, you'd have taken that at the start of the season, no problem. But it's just when you're in the running and you want to lock in that fourth place, perhaps we could have locked it in. You know, I think we just really needed to beat United or Newcastle at home, or even draw.
Even beat the bloody, you know, beat the likes of Brentford and Sheffield United.
Well, Brentford, what is probably the one we you really, if you're going to double down on that one, would be the one when you 2-0 up. Same as, you know, when you're talking about away form against Old Trafford, if you're 2-0 up and you're a team chasing Champions League, you've got to finish off those games. But recently, if you look at, you know, beating Lille, that was down to Martinez, really. I mean, even you look at Wolves. Wolves were missing the front line. We beat them, but that was potentially could have gone a different way if it wasn't for that Martinez save.
Yep.
And then the Brentford was a collapse, which you saw a lot in that Brentford game why we were worrying about this Lille game. And it pretty much played out as if that Arsenal game never happened, did it? Because after the Arsenal game, you thought, well, actually, we can get a result, a positive result, and then see them off in aggregate. But the way it went was like as if that Arsenal game never happened.
A little bit. And I think you have to give Lille credit for that. I thought their approach, tactics were absolutely spot on. They kind of got it right, actually, in both legs, didn't they? You know, when we were sort of 2-0 up at Villa Park, when they scored one back, you thought, well, they really do deserve that. You know, they were very, very good. I thought they were actually probably more threatening at Villa Park than they were at home. I think Villa kind of managed the game in a very different way, but they were, you know, they had...
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Really good control. Back to Bournemouth. I mean, when we played him, you thought, oh, this is like a lesser, it's like Newcastle light or something.
A little bit in their approach, yeah.
Very good on the counter. You know, they create chances. The teams we struggle against, teams that are good on the counter, not necessarily, they don't see a lot of the ball. That's not as if they're kind of keeping possession. Mm-hmm. They're playing in a way that they will punish, they will trigger and punish. We have been sloppy in recent games in terms of that final ball, which has often got us into trouble. And this is the problem here. We need to keep the ball better and be tidier and manage the ball better than we have done in recent times because, you know, with the likes of Solanke, you've got a genuine threat. He scored 17 goals this season. He's not that far behind Watkins. But getting us on the counter is my main concern here.
It's definitely a game, obviously, you know, you want to score first in this one, but you want to try and control this one, I think. You certainly don't want to allow the game to bounce back and forth too much.
Yeah, I would have preferred in an ideal world to have McGinn and Tielemans further up the field just to have better control of the ball in the final third, but it is what it is. And that means that whoever plays that three behind Watkins has to manage the ball a bit better than they have been doing.
I think Rodgers was very good at that, actually, at Arsenal, when he was more central. Obviously, Zaniolo really grew into the game, albeit, you know, he didn't have a very good start to the game at Lille and was kind of got himself, took a good whack in the back, didn't he? In fact, I think he did at Arsenal as well. He had a couple of very rough and tumble games. And that's obviously his playing style. But
Bournemouth, perhaps stronger down the left-hand side. So how do you see the right-back position going? What Cash and Kunza played the whole game against Lille, yeah. 120 minutes.
Yeah, they did. I wonder if Carlos comes back in for this one. I don't, you know, obviously, because Cash has just come back from an injury and he's gone through 120 minutes. Did kind of, I mean, obviously, was he had a, you know, scored his penalty and scored the big goal that got us back in. So fair play to him. He had a very difficult night's work, though.
Yeah, it was a bit flaky actually, before, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah. So I wouldn't be surprised if he comes off the bench in this one. I think they'll be looking to just manage him back. I don't think they'll, of all the rest of them, I think you're looking to manage his workload just a little bit.
In terms of the Bournemouth threats, well, let's look at their injuries first. There's a couple of hamstrings that happened a couple of weeks ago, so they're still out probably to mid-May, which is Sinisterra, who was pretty good against us in the first game, wasn't he?
Yeah, very good player.
And Tavernier, I can't remember if you want it. We're back from France, so I've been putting on my French accent on everything. But those two are losses in the midfield. But they've missed the last couple of games, so you know it's not as if it's fundamental injuries. It's not as if Bournemouth are in trouble in terms of the injury situation. But yeah, we've already talking about, we mentioned Solanke. Somebody that in the first preview when we played him at theirs, you just didn't rate him at all, but he's had a cracking season, hasn't he?
He has. I didn't know actually at that point if it was just a bit of a purple patch. I always sort of thought he flattered to deceive when he left Liverpool to begin with, but to be fair to the guy, he's become a good player this season.
I mean, he's scored, it works
vastly
out,
improved.
17 goals he scored is 36% of Bournemouth's goals.
That's the threat then, isn't it, basically?
Yeah, compared to Watkins's 19 for Villa, which is 28 of the 68 goals Villa have scored. So if you can pocket Solanke, you've pretty much got them where you want them. I think this might be a KG take the win kind of game. I
think so, yeah, I agree.
Well, Arsenal was a good performance, so
they were very good.
I was going to say we're owed a good performance because those have been few and far between in recent times. The Arsenal game was, well, the second half was very good.
I think the players take confidence actually from both. They showed that they could play brilliant football against a team when they're allowed to against Arsenal, and they basically just dug in Lille and kind of, I wouldn't say limped over the line because it wasn't that kind of backs to the wall performance, but it was very much a kind of spluttery, stodgy kind of game, but they just got through. And I think you do take a lot of credit from winning on penalties. You do take a lot of confidence from winning on penalties in a game, you know, in that kind of atmosphere. And when you've very obviously been the second best team in the game.
Yeah.
It's sort of, you know, those smash and grab performances where you get a positive result. I think they give you a different kind of momentum. And we've kind of seen both in that week. And ultimately, they will know this is a big one after the way last week panned out. Tottenham don't play this week. You play before them next week. It's these two home games really that's the heavy lifting.
I would say this is the easier of
yes
Bournemouth and Chelsea, because Chelsea, yeah. I think they've just carried on from how they played against us in the FA Cup. I just thought this is a team that's going to be a threat next season. It's a young team. People, you can just write them off, but you know, today, this season isn't about winning things. This season is about getting ready for what's to come. They have a manager they'd want to build a legacy around. You get the equivalent of Arsenal fan TV fans who are reactionary. Oh, we're not winning now. We must be shit. But no, this is a longer term situation with Chelsea, because when they played us, I think their average age in the FA Cup was 22, just over.
Something like that, yeah.
And the spirit, and that, you know, they're still kind of raw, as we saw from the big who would take the penalty debate. But once these things are all ironed out, I think there's only one direction this Chelsea team goes, just because of the amount of fucking money put into them.
Yeah, you think if they really solidify a spine to that team, you know, obviously Thiago's going to retire, but if you get a really quality centre-back, work out who's going to be the main man, and then if they put a goal scorer in there, they're going to be in danger.
They've got a player that scored more than Watkins this season.
He's a striker, though.
Well, he's a goal scorer. That's what you said.
Nine.
Goal scorer.
He's an attacking midfielder. I'm talking about a goal scorer in a number nine, who is your 25 goals a season. Like they've always had, you know, they've always had in recent years. They've had an embarrassing array, but we're not here to talk about Chelsea's striking options.
The thing is, Spurs have got to play Chelsea as well. So the main thing is here to beat Bournemouth. Now, what is the Mom's Pool panel result on this?
A home win, a sort of spluttery home win.
Yeah, I feel this is similar to the Brentford situation, where you have the same confidence going in it, but can we trust Villa yet? I don't think 100%. I will say home win, but I'm not surprised if this is similar vibes to Sheffield United, Brentford, where euphoria is high, and that's always dangerous going into a game. The expectations are to win. I'll go home win, but I think it will be
attritional.
Yes, I think we're in the stage where we're getting things over the line at the moment. So, I mean, I've never seen anything in terms of getting something over the line like I did in Lille. That was, as I described on the members podcast after the game, it was like being slowly buried alive. And, you know, you've just had that last spade full of dirt in your mouth and you spit it out and then you rise from the grave somehow. We took that to the line. So hopefully we can't stink the joint out again in terms of the 90-minute performance. So home win for this one. Actually, Palmer is the leading scorer with Haaland locked on 20.
Wow.
So if they do get a striker forward, if Drogba has a son and he comes, that's how they become a force again straight away, don't they?
I think so, yeah.
I mean, look at the stats. Bournemouth have won 4 of the last 7 Premier League meetings with Villa, so they don't have any fear of Villa at this stage of the game.
No, I mean, obviously we beat them 3-0 last year. We were on that very, very good run. So there's only 4 teams who've won more points since November. They've got 36 points, won 10, drawn 6, lost 5. I mean, that's sort of, you know, top half, top 6 form.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive, actually. That's a lot of it is around that Christmas period where they were. I always remember they were like in terms of form teams, they were in the top 4 or 5.
Yeah, and they seem to be very good at getting results against the teams they would expect to.
Yeah,
you know, they get the job done. You know, especially at home. I'm glad this one's at Villa Park. I don't know if I'd necessarily, with, you know, the extra journey or whatever, I don't know if I'd fancy us, you know, going there.
Speaking of Chelsea's need for a striker, I wonder if they will have a look at Dominic Solanke, because he actually started there.
He did.
Before he actually went to Liverpool. He was there for about 3 years, kind of in the youth setup, went out on loan, as they do, to Belgium, their little stash away club. I think that's Vitesse, which is Abramovich's under the magnifying glass about that one. He was one of those hoarded players, then sold to Liverpool, and then ended up in Bournemouth again. So it'd be interesting to see if he goes back, because he will be welcome back, because obviously he's got, you know, previous with Chelsea. We shall see. But that is not our problem to ponder. This is big in terms of the Spurs situation. It takes the pressure off a little bit. If you can get the win here, then suddenly you're 4 points ahead of Spurs. You've then got to play Chelsea before Spurs kick a ball.
And they go to, they've got Arsenal. And Arsenal are going to be reeling after, obviously, the Villa defeat and the losing in the Champions League.
So if you win this one, and then you could probably, you know, a draw against Chelsea is not that bad. You'll have 5 points on Spurs, and that's pressure on them to deliver in their games in hand, and their games in hand are not easy. So, Godspeed.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.